This is Brenda Daly, and this is Real Women Celebrating Women in Independent Film. And we're here talking with Dee Catrone, who is a personal favorite of mine. We wanted to talk about herself in the entertainment industry, how long she's been doing it, when she got started, and what else she's been doing in her life. Going on, Dee.
Well, right now I am auditioning for a couple of commercials. Been cast in two movies, and and as you know, yesterday we had a table read for one of them.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. That was great. Mm-hmm. So basically, Dee, sure, everybody who knows you knows these questions, but people who don't know, where are you originally from?
I am from Long Island. Grew up in North Valley Stream, then moved out to Stony Brook further out on the island.
Okay, and so when was your first experience in the entertainment industry?
When I was three, I was on a children's program, a TV program.
With anybody that we've ever heard of?
You're too young, it was called the Ron Hardock Children's Hour, and the man's name was Ed Herlihy. He was the host.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. And is that when you caught the bug?
I don't know. I was very young, so I just know that I used to... When my mom or dad said, you know, it's time to go to bed, I would start singing something. So to stall that I didn't want to go to bed.
Right. And so your first career was a teacher. Is that correct?
Yes. And then I became a teacher because dad didn't want me going into the city, you know, to do stuff when I was like, after I graduated from high school.
Protective of you, of his girl, obviously.
Right. And I was the baby of the family. So yes. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, my parents were in their 40s when I came to be. So a little different generation, you know, very protective. Mm-hmm. Very protective.
Mm-hmm. Do you love teaching?
I did. I love teaching. Absolutely. I mean, in 31 years, I taught for 31 years. And during that time, I did several, regional plays on Long Island, different places. Before that, I also sang in two different restaurant lounges for many years.
Oh, wow.
For many, 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 many years until I retired and moved out to Vegas. Yeah. From the time it was like late 20s. Yeah.
So what kind of music did you sing?
Well, I sang with a piano player. And so we did everything and anything from all kinds of, the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, musicals. You know, up and coming different things, all kinds of like say Cohan medleys, different musicians or songwriters, you know, anything. Yeah.
You've always kind of been the entertainer of the family.
Yes.
You retire from teaching and you've done a lot of singing in clubs. Mm-hmm. So you moved to Vegas and you're retired. And so what I wanted to know was what got you started in independent.
Oh, okay. So I had no idea that I could do anything out here. It took me 10 years, and I happened to meet a couple, an older couple, in Long's drugstore, and somehow we started talking about different actors, and they told me, hey, you know, you could do background here if a movie comes to town. And they gave me the name of a person, and I went and she interviewed me. She said, well, get me a picture right away, which I did. And the next day I was on CSI.
Wow, that's amazing.
I did that for a couple of years. And then I decided, hey, I want to get, you know, do more acting for the camera. And so I started taking classes 5 days a week.
Oh, mm-hmm. So you really got into it. Like you were like, this is what I want to do. And I love it.
And the thing, too, it was because of doing musicals that's very over the top in plays. I had to learn to come way down for the camera. And then I also did voiceover, too. I took a voiceover class, too.
Took classes and you took the voiceovers and you did the background work. What was your favorite part? Is it the part of being in front of the camera or is it the learning something new? Because you spent your most of your life teaching others,
right?
And here you are, you're retired, and now you're learning something new. And
yeah,
I mean, for me, that's got reliving a part of your life you didn't know that you were going to live.
Oh, I am a student. I have always been a student because even when I was teaching, I took many, many, many credits and years to get, you know, up to my doctorate. So, I mean, I was always a student. I was always learning. I love to learn. So whether it's in front of the class or, you know, sitting in a class, I'm just a, you know, a student. I like being a student.
Yeah, I'm a lot like that too. Like I get so excited when somebody tells me something I didn't know.
Yes, you learn something, you know, every single day.
And I think that's the quality of life, or how I see it, is like, I couldn't sit around and just watch TV all day. I love being around. I know I've learned a lot just doing scenes from you in class, and I've learned a lot about your life does not end until it ends. So you need to make the most of it. And I think I feel like that is kind of the life you lead.
I can't sit home. No, absolutely. When I was home and I didn't do any of this stuff, I was, you know, in Long's drugstore gambling. So that's not good.
Right. Right. But I mean, that's the town we live in. I mean, we live in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And, I think, you know, when you do retire, people think, oh, I love to gamble. And so they go out and they gamble. But then after a while, I think it becomes kind of meaningless. And you start droning out a little bit on it. And you start to realize that this what the rest of my life's going to be, or am I going to do something that excites me?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, fortunately, I was very lucky. But still, mm-hmm. It was like, you know, spending hours a day, it was just not fulfilling.
Right. And I think, too, when you get into acting and performing and dealing with other actors, it really makes your brain work in ways that you never thought it would.
And it's great as you get older. And I'm, you know, I could say for myself, it helps your brain. You know, it keeps you alive. It keeps you, you know, thinking and memorizing scripts and all that kind of thing. Yeah, it keeps it active.
Excited about what's next, even if it's that next audition. When you get cast, it's like, wow, I accomplished something.
I love to audition, by the way. Yeah,
I do
like to audition.
I think that for other people who are out there acting, the audition is really the performance. When you're doing the performance and you actually treat it like it's a performance, not, oh, I'm going to get to the performance, then I think that's when your auditions are spot on. Like, this is my journey, and this is how I see the character, and this is where I think the character should be. Doesn't mean that when you get cast, they won't change things, but, you know, you're kind of showing your creativity right in front of them.
Very much so.
You know? Yeah, yeah. So what is your favorite part about auditioning?
Just being in the room, just meeting other people, just enjoying the whole thing, just trying to create a different character.
When you, now that everything's pretty much self-tape and we're living in the world of COVID, so we were talking yesterday just about all the new things that we have to learn. Like, we have to be better on the computer, and we have to learn how to use a camera. And yesterday we were talking about green screen. So there's a lot of technical stuff that actors have to do now. Had to, you know, basically an actor used to just break down the script, you know, and figure out what part of themselves they can kind of lend to the character to make it come to life. And now we have to do all this other stuff.
Yes.
Get a ring light, get a backdrop. And now it's real. Everybody wants real. And now you want a slate shot. So I guess the question is younger actors or people are just getting in, what is the biggest thing you could tell them that would keep them going?
Well, first of all, don't be in such a, you know, a rush. I mean, somebody told me, oh, you're beautiful, you should be in the movies. Well, no, you have to learn to act. You have to take classes. Not everybody is a natural actor. You have to you have to be reliable, and you have to help your fellow actor. It's so important when you're doing a scene that it's not about you, it's about the other person. And then it'll come out, you know, the whole thing will come together into a whole scene, into a whole story. Definitely have to work at it. You definitely have to study.
To study, and I think the biggest part about studying that I know of is you really have to learn to listen. Because when you're talking about, you worry about the other actor, it's just because you don't want to come off stilted like, oh, I know these lines. You want it to come out naturally, and you want to react naturally. I think that's super important, listening. I don't know why we don't listen anymore.
I know it's very, very important. Listening is the whole thing about education, about learning. Yes, you have to listen.
Computer and all that. I mean, it's great that we can self-tape and people can do it from their homes and everything. But I think the thing that we haven't learned with the computer is learning really to listen. You know, of all these things that are coming up, are there any movies you can tell us about that you're going to be in? Like, I know there's a lot of NDAs and things you can't talk about, but or things, movies that you have done that you're really proud of?
Well, I guess I could tell you about this because you're going to be in the same movie, which will be filming in January. And that's called Night of the Tommyknockers. And I have a part in that. That's exciting. And I will be working with Michael Sue again, the director, who is fantastic. I mean, that man got so much out of me in the last movie I did that I didn't even know was in me.
Michael Sue is the DP.
Yeah. And you learn from that, too. I mean, I have been in a movie that Ralph directed me and so forth, Art of the Dead. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty excited that it's an old Western. I mean, I worked so hard in my audition because I play this part. This is a once in a lifetime for me to play this part because I'm not getting any younger.
Talk about
and
it.
I don't know how many Westerns, you know, how many Westerns are actually going to be up and coming that I can participate in. So I'm pretty excited about that too. And then, but you were in like a Christmas movie, Puppies for Christmas.
Yes.
And you were with a pretty famous star in that one. Mm-hmm. Who was that?
Rosenberg. Yes. Yes, he was. And, okay. And Basil Hoffman was in it too. He was an old-time actor. Many, many, many movies and TV shows. And what a nice man on set. He was just wonderful to me. So yeah, that was a great shoot.
Now, is that a movie we can get, like, if we're on Amazon Prime or anything? Because I have not seen it.
Yeah, I think you can go on Amazon and rent it or buy
that
it.
That would be fun. Mm-hmm. It's that time of year, right?
Right, and I think it may be out, like, places like Walmart or something. Christmas time, it's possible.
But I think now, this is the time of year where, you know, Christmas movies are... we really need them. And I think that to rent a movie like that or to see it on Amazon, I think it's, you know, you have to remember you're supporting your independent filmmaker. I mean, these movies weren't big box office blockbusters, but you can find some real gems when you do it, when you watch some independent films, things you would never have thought of that people can do and the quality that you can work with.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, yeah. So I would recommend everyone seeing Puppies for Christmas. And I know Dee's been in another movie called Death Count. Is that what it's called?
Yes, Death Count. That was the last movie I did, which was around, I want to say, September, maybe? Whenever the premiere for Attack of the Unknown was in the theater, it was a few days after that we filmed that. But it's not out yet. But yeah, very interesting. And that's the movie that I told you that Michael Sue got something out of me that I had no idea was in me. So it was great.
Have somebody who's just really into what they're doing and they see a vision and then they kind of, if they can communicate with the actor, sometimes it's just like magic, you know, on both sides, not just from the actor, but just both sides.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole crew was wonderful. I mean, they took care of me. So and then I was in a scene with Costas Mandalorian, and he's wonderful. So, and I was in another scene in another movie called Bloodthirst, and so I was in a scene with him in that movie. Excellent actor, very nice person.
Yeah, you've worked with some pretty famous people, though. It's like Tara Reid and Robert Lissardo.
Michael Paré.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Again, I was in the scene with, I had several scenes, but I was, you know, in a scene with him, actually. So that was fun.
A TV show that you played the secretary, and that was a pretty big deal because you were with Don Cheadle. What was the name of that?
It was House of Lies.
Oh, that you did, I thought.
It was great, too. And they were all wonderful, including Don Cheadle. I mean, just the two young guys that was on that show. I mean, they came over and introduced themselves. It was just, again, and a great director. It was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, and I think that people out there should just realize that if you want to do something, you should just go do it. You know, of course, you have to put out the effort. You know, everybody says, I want to, but no one really wants to put out the effort to learn. But I think I don't everybody that it's a craft and that you really need to, if you really want to do it, there's really nothing to stop you but you. I think that you're definitely an inspiration to the rest of us.
Thank you.
And beyond, which is great. I'm so proud of working with so many great to do. So that's wonderful. Is there any women actresses or directors or anybody that made you go, I can do this if they can do this? And I love them.
Now, going back to when I was a child, I was sitting in front of the TV watching all the Shirley Temple movies. I loved her. And a big fan of Bette Davis. Yeah, big fan of hers. And, you know, all the older people that people don't know, but I want to tell students too, and people wanting to do this profession, watch some old classics, please. Watch some old, you know, like Casablanca, you know, all those old classics, and you see some really great acting. And you learn from that.
Films, it's like you're setting up the mood. These, with the, all the way back to Charlie Chaplin, they know how to make a film. If you could just follow an older film and watch how the scene structure was and how it was filmed and the angles, I think you could learn a lot if you wanted to be a filmmaker or, like you said, even an actor. You can really see the talent that's in those movies, and that's why they're timeless.
That's right. That's why they're timeless, because they were perfect from the beginning. You know, and some of those actors, I mean, To Kill a Mockingbird, Judgment, anything with Orson Welles. I happen to like Michael Caine a lot.
I love him.
Yeah. So
I actually saw an interview with Orson Welles. It came across the internet the other day, because, you know, for those of us who know, he's passed. But he was saying, there was a question that he was asked, and the question was this: have you friends in movies that you probably should have cast somebody better for the part? And he said, yes. And he said, have you ever regretted it? He goes, probably yes. And then they asked him, well, would you do it a different way if you had the opportunity? And he said no. And the reason why he said no was, he had said, because when you're on a movie set, these people become your friends and your family. And you know, where you don't know what somebody from the outside will bring into your family. It's always nice to have somebody new, but at the end of the day, you want to feel comfortable and you want to feel cared about, and you want everybody on set to feel that way.
You know that Frank Sinatra had in almost every one of his movies, Richard Conte. He was in movies with him, except for the one that he won the Oscar for, you know, from He Had Eternity. I don't know if Richard Conte was in that. But so I happened to watch a movie the other day with him, and I go, oh, see, he's always in his movies. And because you have to depend on these people, you don't want any prima donnas on your set. You know, so that's how I feel. And
no, it's true. And that's why when he said that, I thought, wow, I mean, here's a man who's passed away, who had a great career, who was a fantastic actor. And even today, we're living in a world where relationships are everything. Yes, there are extremely talented people out there. But I think a big thing, advice that I always give actors, is that you really need to build your relationships, because your work with these people, if they feel like they're family or they're your friends, and you feel like the whole place will work together in harmony.
It's like, even when you're in class and you're doing scenes, you know, you get to a point where now you don't want to do scenes with some other people because they're, you know, they're not reliable. You know, we're supposed to rehearse, and all of a sudden, well, I can't because I'm going to my boyfriend's hockey game or something. Well, no, then just get out of the business. It's not for you.
It's like the one time somebody kind of backs out on you, you kind of go, the thing about just going to acting class, you're making connections with people. Mm-hmm. So if you're a flake in class, those people are never going to recommend you to be on set. Why would they?
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So every little thing you do, people are, I mean, they're not trying to be mean and judgmental. They're just judging, like, can I count on you?
It's like, don't do that. Just don't do that. Be present. Help your fellow actor. because you help yourself.
Exactly. This is the time of COVID, and a lot of people, you know, people are getting sick, and that's a whole different story.
Mm-hmm.
But I had somebody the other day, she was supposed to be on set in a couple of hours, and I had given them a week's notice, send messages, and it's like, oh, you know, 3 hours before we're supposed to do this shoot, and they go, oh, well, I don't know if I'll make it back from LA in time. I had to work. It's like, if you would have told me that 3 days ago, I would have understood, because, you know, money is money, but 3 hours I don't get.
Yeah. No, I've had even worse than that. I've had even maybe 20 minutes before somebody. And when I was right. The series here, same thing happened. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to do my scene. And I'm driving mm-hmm. to the place to do the scene when they said, well, we can't do it today, you know, whatever. And I'm going, okay, so my time is not as important as yours, apparently.
Right. And I don't like that either. I mean, I'm the no budget filmmaker. So I try to make sure that everything is scheduled, because I don't want to waste people's time. Mm-hmm. It's not fair to do that to people. And you know, actors have to prepare. They have to get their suitcase ready. They have to make sure they have all the things they need. And then the filmmaker has to make sure they have all the things they need. And then they have to they got to get all those people together.
Mm-hmm.
So right. If one person screws up the pot, then we're all messed up.
Well, the thing is, you know, I think they think that, you know, well, this is glamorous job and what. No, it's hard work. Listen, how many times have you had to do a scene over and over again? It's hard work. And so if you're not up for that, do something.
Because those of us who are passionate about it, we will work and work and work until we get what we want. And if we do lackadaisical work, it shows and we just don't get cast.
Correct.
So then you have to work twice as hard or three times as hard to audition for that production, just for the sheer fact is they remember your lackadaisical audition, and so they're going to be very hesitant to even watch your next one. So you better nail it.
Up to it. You have to put in 100%. You just have to.
Absolutely.
And so
absolutely.
And you'll never work again.
I'm very excited that I got to talk to you. I talk to you all the time, Dee. So, but I think it. You know, it's been so nice to have somebody like you just to count on. Like, I know I can call you, or if I have a question, you're always there. And I do appreciate you for that.
Well, thank you, Brenda. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's always been great working with you, too. And I am so your latest casting.
Yeah, moving together, finally.
I don't know if we'll be on set together. We probably won't, but we'll be maybe there the same day.
Yeah, we'll definitely be there on the red carpet, which will be super fun.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, this is Brenda Daly and Dee Catrone, and this is Real Women Celebrating Women in Independent Film. And I'm so glad we got to talk, because I really wanted to celebrate you and let everybody know that she's an icon, at least in my world. And, you know, people that I admire, you're definitely in the top for me.
Oh, thank you. That's sweet. I really appreciate it.
Okay, and I will talk to you soon.